time this week. It's an encouragement to see us come together as a body to worship. As many of you know, I was on vacation last week. It was a good vacation, except I think Ruby and I spent more time running around than we thought, but we had a lot of good conversations with people, and I hope that you guys had a blessed worship service last week. This week we're going to start with a new sermon series. We're going to be looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And in this chapter, Matthew, he writes about Jesus and how Jesus tells a few different parables. Some people say it's six, some people say it's seven. So we'll be looking at these different parables, and each of the parables will teach us about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven might seem like something that's very far away. It's somewhere where we're going to go after we die. But I want us to know and to reflect that the kingdom of heaven has actually come already. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he brought the kingdom of heaven down with him, and we can experience that kingdom here and now. So the first parable we'll look at is a familiar one. It comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. There are some Bibles in the seats. If you want to follow along, it'll also be projected up here. So Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So this is a story that many of us have probably heard before. There's a farmer, he's getting ready to plant some crops, so he's scattering seeds in the field. There are two aspects of this parable that I want to highlight this morning. And the first is the way in which the farmer is sowing the seed. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but the farmer, he has a very carefree attitude as he's putting out the seed, right? He's just throwing seed everywhere. And the reason why, that's the reason why it ends up in all of these different places, because he's not really paying attention to where he's throwing the seed. And there's only one reason that I can think of why he can be so carefree. And it's because he has an abundant amount of seed. If you think about it, if he only had 5 or 10 seeds, he'd be very careful about making sure those seeds are placed into the hole. And then he covers it up. But if he has 1,000,000 seeds, he can kind of just throw them wherever and see where they land. So for instance, if I had just one piece of candy, I would probably just keep it for myself and I would just hang on to it because I like it. But if I had a whole bag of candy, I could probably just throw candy out anywhere and see where candy lands. Sorry, right now. Make sure you share with the people around you that didn't get any, because I obviously was not paying attention to where I was throwing the candy. But the farmer, he can do that because he has a lot of seeds. You can eat the candy now, but just please make sure you don't leave the wrappers lying around on the floor. So what the seed in this parable represents is it represents the message of the kingdom of heaven. It represents the gospel. And so that's to say that all of us who have received the gospel are all of us who have heard the gospel, and we have this gospel. It's not a message that we need to keep to ourselves. It's not a message that needs to be paced. You know, I've shared in the past that whenever I go to Taiwan, I like to buy some snacks from Taiwan. 2 years ago, I bought these honey-roasted cashews. I really, really like them. But I only had room to bring back 2 containers. And I knew that it was going to be a whole year until I could go back and get some more. And so I only had 2 containers. So I was like, okay, 6 months per container. And so I ate them very, very slowly. But this summer, Ruby went back to Taiwan. She was there for a little bit longer. It was just her. So she had 2 suitcases, and she brought me back like 5 containers of these cashews. And so now I have 5 containers of the cashews. And so when she brought back, I'm pretty sure I ate 1 container in a week because I was like, I have so many. I don't really need to pace it as much. So what this parable tells us is that while we have the gospel, we can freely share the gospel with whoever, right? If we share the gospel with one friend, that doesn't mean there's less gospel to share with our other friend. The gospel is unlimited. As we sow the gospel, as we share this message of the kingdom, it's true that we're not going to know where it lands in. You know, but that doesn't matter. That's not the point that this farmer has. This farmer, he doesn't know where the seeds are going to land, but he just keeps throwing them out. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Finding Nemo. It's one of my favorite movies. But there's Dory, right? The fish who has very bad memory. I kind of relate to her. But she sings this song, and she says, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, right? She doesn't know where she's going, but she just keeps swimming. That should be our attitude with the gospel message. We should just keep sowing, just keep sowing, just keep sowing. So we just keep sowing the seed of the message of the kingdom of God. And we want to do this because if you look at the seed, if you know what the gospel has done in your life, it has this tremendous potential to transform lives. And all of that potential is contained in the seed. So when we throw out the seed, when we share the gospel, we're participating in God's work to save people for all of eternity. And that's something that's very, very worthwhile. The message of God, it's powerful. It's like a seed that, when placed in the correct environment, will grow. In the rest of the parable, Jesus talks about the different places where the seed will land on. And this is the second thing I want to talk about. There's 4 places that the seed can land on. The first one is hard ground, rocky soil, among thorns, and in good soil. And I want you to pay attention to this, because in 3 out of the 4 places, it results in the seed dying. There's only 1 place where the seed actually produces fruit. And as I was meditating, as I was reflecting on this, I started to think of all the people that I've shared the gospel with. Many of you know I was in China for a year on missions, and I shared this gospel message with dozens of people, but very few of them actually received the message. Most of them were like these other 3 places, the hard ground, the rocky soil, among thorns. And I want us to remember that not everyone that we share the gospel with is going to accept it. In fact, it could be that most people that we share the gospel with are going to reject it, or they're going to be distracted by other things, or they might accept it, and then they'll fall away later. But that shouldn't stop us from spreading it. You know, the farmer, even though these seeds, 75% of the seeds that this farmer is throwing into the ground are not going to produce any crop. And we might think, oh, that's such a waste. But the farmer doesn't think that way. And we'll see why. So let's look at the 4 different places. So the first one is hard ground. This one is really interesting because the seed just like bounce. It's like if I was trying to plant something in this gym right now, I just like throw down seed. It doesn't matter how much water I add to it. It doesn't matter how much sunlight is going to land on that seed. That seed is not going to grow in this gym. It bounces off the ground and it just lays there. And Jesus describes this. I love this parable because Jesus actually kind of goes into describing all of these things later. He explains it. And so Jesus describes people, or the hard ground, as people that have a hard heart. Right, this is the type of person that never gives the gospel a chance. You know, they may walk into church one day, they may hear the preacher share the gospel that Jesus Christ has died for them, he has saved them from their sins, and that they can have eternal life with him. And they hear that message and they say, no, thank you, that's not for me. I don't need that. That's the person with a hardened heart. The seed of the gospel goes to them, but it just bounces off. And Jesus even goes on to say that the evil one will come and snatch away the seed so that the person who is like that will not even remember the gospel anymore. It'll just be taken away from them. The second place that the seed can land is in rocky soil. There's some soil, so the seed has found a home so it can start growing. But if you know anything about plants, if you've ever tried to plant something, or if you know a little bit of biology, you know that most of the plants draw their nutrients and their food from their roots. So there needs to be a place for the plant to spread out its roots. But if it's in rocky soil, if it's in soil that's full of rocks, the plant is not going to be able to spread its roots. And so when the sun comes out and it starts heating up the plant has no place to draw water from. It's going to wither up and die. And Jesus describes this person as someone who, when they first hear the gospel, they're like, wow, that's amazing. I want that. And they receive it and they are full of joy. But because this person doesn't really take the time to develop his faith, he doesn't grow in his relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe he just comes to church, sits through the service, and just walks away. Jesus says that when the hard times come, when times of persecution or trouble come, this person is going to end up leaving the faith. And the reason for that is because they never developed the roots. They never grew their faith to a point that would allow them to withstand all of the persecution. And this is actually very common for people in Asia, especially in Southeast Asia, where there is, and in South America as well. There's this thing called the prosperity gospel. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. Sometimes it's known as the health and wealth gospel. It's not really a gospel at all, because what people that follow the prosperity gospel teach is that God wants everyone to be rich. God wants everyone to be healthy. Like, that's his will for everyone. And so they kind of preach that message and they say, God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be healthy. And the reason that, and the way to get to that is, you know, give money to the church, do good things. But that's not really the gospel. The gospel tells us, the Bible tells us, that there are going to be really hard times. There's going to be trials and tribulations. There's going to be suffering for those that follow Jesus Christ. Or Jesus Christ says you have to take up your cross. That's not an easy thing to do in order to follow him. But what the Bible does tell us is that God will never leave us in those moments. God will never forsake us when we're going through those troubles. But people that believe that God wants to only give them money and health, what do you think is going to happen when they don't get money or when they get sick? They're going to think, I don't want to follow this God. He's not giving me the things that he said he would. These are the people that are compared to the rocky soil. The third place that the seed can land is among thorns. So the plant is growing, but there's also thorns growing up alongside of the plant. And Jesus describes these people, he describes the thorns as the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. The people that are growing up as the seed among thorns are people that are constantly thinking about worldly matters. They're constantly thinking about this life here and now. How do I get ahead in life? What's my next step? How do I climb the ladder of success? How do I make more money? How do I make a bigger name for myself? You know, one of the conversations that I had with some friends last week on my vacation was talking about the world of scholars. You know, a lot of scholars, no matter what field they're in, people that do a lot of research, one of their main goals is to make a really big name for themselves. Like, they want to become famous, they want to be well known, they want to be regarded, they want to have that reputation as a good scholar. And Ruby and another friend were mentioning that comes at a cost. Because it comes at a cost of tearing other people down, right? In order to be a good scholar, quote unquote, you have to say that somebody else was wrong. You have to prove somebody else was wrong so that you are the one who looks better. You are the one that's right. So people that receive the gospel and they're kind of, they accepted it, but because of the things of this world, they get choked up by these thorns, and their faith will eventually crumble because they don't care about it. They care about the things of the world more. So these are the three places that the seed will die. Remember, this is 75% of the seed that is sown. It results in death. But there's a final place that the seed lands in, and the seed lands in good soil. Jesus describes this as the person who hears the word and understands it. The person who allows the gospel to enter their lives and produce fruit. So remember I said in the beginning that all of the potential for life transformation is actually contained in the seed. So when we receive the seed and we nurture it and we let it grow, that potential is going to come forth. Once we really understand the gospel, it's going to transform our lives. Here are some examples. The gospel tells us that we were powerless to deal with our sin, and we are. But God saw that, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And so what that does is that it teaches us to love him for that. Or when we reflect on the fact that we were rebels against God, that we were literally shaking our fists at God, we were angry at him, we wanted nothing to do with him. It was in that moment that he decided to save us. It wasn't because we were being good, or we were trying, we were making an effort to get to know him. It was when we were going absolutely against him that he said, I'm going to save you. And what does that teach us? That teaches us to love our enemies. Those that are out to get us, we can love them because God loves us. But when we cling to the gospel promise that he's going to come back again, he's going to bring us to heaven to be with him for eternity, a place where there's no pain and no suffering, we can be filled with hope. And we can bear the challenges and the difficulties of this life. See, the success of the seed to release its potential, it depends completely on where it lands. So where is your heart right now? In those four places that we've mentioned, the hard ground, the rocky soil, among thorns, and in good soil, where's your heart at? When you hear this message that I've been saying to you about who Jesus is, about what he's done. How are you receiving that? Do you understand the message? Do you want to grow? If you have questions, I encourage you to come find me afterwards, and I'd love to talk to you about your questions. But please, please don't walk away from here without understanding how much God loves each and every one of you, and how much he desires for you to be in his kingdom, that he would send his one and only son to take your place, to take the punishment for you, so that you can be with him. The gospel seed, I recognize, does not always land on receptive hearts. And you could be in a place where you're struggling right now. But I urge you not to stay there. And here's why it's okay that the seed landed, that 75% of the seed landed in places where it died. Because the parable ends in verse 8, where the seed that lands in good soil, that's 25%, it produces a crop that yields 100 times, or 60 times, or 30 times what was sown. So imagine that, 25% of the seed will actually produce more than was lost. Again, that's the power of the gospel message. That you don't, if you try to share the gospel with 10 people, and 7 out of those 10 reject you, but those 3 receive you, and they go on to share the gospel, and then multiplies by 30 times, you've gained 90 believers when you've lost 7. You know, the tiny little seed planted in the life of someone who actually hears and understands what the message says will go on to multiply so much. And we might think it's just a little seed, it's just one person that I maybe failed or I didn't share the gospel with. But I want to warn you against that. I want to encourage you to not see the little seed as something that's insignificant, because it can impact lives. You know, when I was on missions in China, I was having a hard time. I was running into a lot of people with hard ground, rocky soil, among thorns kind of attitudes towards the gospel. But there were 2 guys in particular that I remember. They had heard about Jesus from one of their teachers. And so when I met with them, they had a little bit of a knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. But they wanted to know more. They had a lot of questions. And so I met with these 2 guys week after week for I think 3 months. And I continued meeting with them regularly during the course of the year that I was there. And these 2 guys received the gospel as if it was planted in good soil. They understood the gospel message. And then I left. But I kept in touch with them by email. And I found out that these 2 guys, the next summer after I had left, they decided to go on a missions trip to Turkey. I don't know if you guys have heard of this movement, but there's a movement in China. It's called Journey to the West instead of Journey to the East, or Back to Jerusalem is what they're calling it. And there's Chinese people that have a burning passion to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem, where it all started. And they're in a much better position to do that than I, as an American. I'm not sure about Canadians and what your relationship with the Middle East is, but typically countries in the Middle East don't really welcome Americans. And so missionaries from America have a very, very hard time getting into the Middle East. But people from China, people from Korea, they're able to go into the Middle East and share the gospel. So these 2 guys, I would have never pictured that they would go on a missions trip to a foreign country to share the gospel when I shared with them. And I don't know how many people they were able to impact. So just keep sowing. Just keep sowing that seed. When we have an understanding of the gospel message and we really take hold of it, there's power to change our lives and to change the lives of the people around us. So I pray that you receive his word into your heart, that your heart may be the good soil. And again, if you recognize that your heart may be in one of those other places, don't stay there. Come talk with me. Talk with a trusted friend. If you're new, talk with the person that brought you here. Because only those that receive the seed planted in good soil will bear fruit 100 times, 60 times, and 30 times. And all the others will die. So may we experience the life and the transforming power of this gospel message. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not one to give up on anyone, that you just kept sowing, you just kept sowing. That even when we were absolutely rebellious against you, hating you, treating you as an enemy, to when you chose to demonstrate your greatest love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die. So Father, it is my prayer for my brothers and sisters here, for my friends, for my family, for those that may be in the hard places, the rocky soil, who may be, their faith is growing amongst thorns. God, I pray that you would bring about transformation. I pray that you would give them understanding of the gospel so that their hearts may be transformed into good soil, that they may understand your word and experience the hope and the life and the love that you give. Father, I pray that we would hear this message and we would be challenged and convicted to sow seeds among our friends and our family who have not yet heard the gospel message. And I pray that we would not be discouraged when they reject the message. Because, God, they're not rejecting us, but they're rejecting you. And instead, Lord, I pray that that would bring us to our knees in prayer, that we may continue to pray for them and pray over them, that they may see the truth, that they may see the life. Father, as we enter a time of communion, would you help us to reflect on what we've just heard this morning? Would you help us to reflect on the sacrifice of your Son and to recognize just how much he loves us and how much he desires for us to be with him? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.